Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Hello, I'm Geoff Lacey.
And I'm Claire Venice.
We're continuing in lockdown
to bring you
The Peapod. In this week's Peapod, we immerse ourselves in the world of fashion as Claire meets Shirley Leader, owner and manager of Velvet and Rose, the independent clothing and accessories boutique on Chapel Street.
Geoff talks to John Walker from the Petersfield Post and Susie Wilde goes walking at Langley.
And with music from local band Mark Venice and Different Place. Now, that name sounds familiar. Join us as we continue our remotely recorded Peapod.
If you love Petersfield...
I love the square.
It's a lovely, lovely town.
The hangers.
Everyone is welcome.
Then the Peapod loves you.
It's just a nice town.
Everything Petersfield is in the Peapod with Claire Venice and Geoff Lacey.
Hello, Claire. How are you?
Hi, Geoff. I'm not too bad, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. We're recording this on a Monday as per, and we're just still waiting the final outcomes of lockdown and the potential changes. So how's it all going for you, Claire?
Well, another week done, really, isn't it? You know, tick that one off. We're sort
yep.
of... We're sort of on the cusp in our house of Christmas, but not quite. We're waiting until the 1st of December, but we're raring to go. I don't know how things are at your house, Geoff.
Yep, all okay here. Theo is still self-isolating because he was in close contact. 10 days in and he's not suffering any symptoms. So, all's well there. We're just muddling along, really.
That's good news about Theo.
Yeah, it's been a long week, and with a week to go, you think crikey. But he had his report come through this evening, emailed through, and that was pretty good. So all is good in his world at the moment.
Oh, that's good. It's been a hard term. We always knew it was going to be, but my daughter Nina, who's in year 9. Was in school today and she just said there's, in a couple of her classes, there's sort of half the amount of students in the class who were, you know, compared to what normally, who would normally be in the class. It's quite shocking.
Yeah, Theo had to do his, he had food tech last week and he actually did a cook-along with the teacher. So he's in the kitchen. We weren't in, so we were a little bit reluctant because we didn't want the house to be burnt down. He cooked along with the class, which was interesting. And he actually did a good job.
What did he make?
Sweet pastry tarts with a creme pat filling.
Wow, that sounds very Great British Bake Off. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done, Theo.
Yeah. So he loves his cooking. So he's doing well with that.
So you're prepping him to cook your Christmas lunch this year.
Well, that's it. We just don't know what's going to happen with Christmas. I know some listeners are eagerly waiting to find out whether we're going to be cooking our own Christmas dinner this year. So hopefully we'll find out over the next couple of days whether that will be the case. But yes, we'll get Theo involved if we have to do it ourselves. Now, Claire, I've just mentioned Christmas. Are you getting the Christmas spirit?
Yeah, we're nearly there. I did locate the outdoor lights this past weekend. They're not up yet because I can't do Christmas until it's December. And this year, we're going to be, I think, putting the lights up this weekend so that come December the 1st, they'll be on. And then we'll sort of start adding more and more stuff as we go into December because I think, like a lot of people this year, we just need something to look forward to and have a bit of fun, hopefully, with the family. And even though it might be a smaller family, not a bigger family gathering this year, at least we'll try and make it fun for the kids, or at least one to remember in a nice way. So, yeah, we're nearly there. We're nearly there. And you?
Well, yeah, we're in that lull. We've had both the boys' birthdays in October and November, and now we're just building up to Christmas, and I've got a feeling that the decks are going up this weekend. So that does mean about 10 trips up to the loft, and then for me to leave the house for the weekend because I don't get involved. I haven't got an artistic eye.
Oh.
No, yeah, I'm not allowed anywhere near it, to be fair.
Well, at least you know your place, Geoff.
Yeah.
talking of birthdays, I'm going to be a bit cheeky, and I would love to give just a quick shout out to my dad, whose birthday it is today. We're recording it on Monday, November the 23rd, and it's my dad's birthday. And I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying happy birthday to him on the Peapod. He listens every week. So happy birthday, Dad. I hope you've had a lovely day.
Happy birthday, Claire's father.
We'd like to let you know that over the Christmas period, Shine Radio will be giving you the opportunity to record a personal message to wish happy Christmas to your friends or family, or to say thank you to someone who's helped you during this challenging year.
Affectionately called Messages of Comfort and Joy, Comfort and Joy, we're hoping these little gestures of goodwill can help alleviate loneliness to isolated friends and family over the festive season.
Starting from this Friday, November the 27th, you can either submit a message by going to shineradio.uk and following the link, email an audio file from a mobile phone to team@shineradio.uk, or leave a voice message on Petersfield 555 500.
Merry Christmas, Petersfield, from everyone at Shine Radio.
Coming up, I talk to Shirley Leader from Velvet and Rose, but first, here's Joff with John Walker from the Petersfield Post.
Now, I met with John at the weekend for a walk with Walker. Nothing to rival Susie Wild's wild walks, don't you fear. Here's the latest news and happenings from around the Petersphere. This week, we are standing outside the church. Hello, John, how are you?
Very well, thank you, very well. It's a lovely day, it's a lovely church, it's a lovely Petersphere.
So, John, how's the last 7 days been for you?
Well, I think it's probably been the same as it has been for everybody else. A lot of rumours of people going down with COVID, a lot of rumours of people recovering. It's an odd setup you mentioned earlier about some shops can open and others can't. Seems to me a complete nonsense. If you can have some shops open, what's the difference? I find it very strange. I think we're storing up a lot of trouble for ourselves at the moment.
Yeah, I think what I saw during the week was there are shops that sell greeting cards, won't mention any names, cannot open, but supermarkets and other shops can sell them. It doesn't seem a fair market at the moment, does it?
Well, no, and the Welsh did exactly that, didn't they? They said to supermarkets, you can only sell food. You can't sell clothes, greeting cards, newspapers or whatever. Whether that helped the little shops in the long run or not, I don't know. But it certainly seems that if you're a small shop in Petersfield at the moment, although you'll get some money this time around from the government, it's only up to £3,000. As the council have been saying, it's only up to £3,000 for the month. I don't see that it's going to do you much good, to be honest. And the council is, as they've said, doing everything they possibly can to help. But it all comes down to money. And at the end of the day, we had the interesting news at the back end of last week that the government has now borrowed £2 trillion for the first time in living memory, which has to make you wonder.
It does, doesn't it?
But the good news is £4 billion of that is going to the Navy, and they'll actually be able to buy planes to put on that fantastic aircraft carrier that's slowly sinking in Portsmouth Dockyard.
Right, John. So what is in the Petersfield Post this week?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Yeah, sorry, a challenging question.
It is a challenging question, to be fair. As you know, Sundays we're still in the process of putting the paper together, so there's the way it works is we do all the features first, and the news comes on Monday. So I'm going to be winging it a little bit. It could be all change. But definitely this week, Homestart Butzer, who do a great job, I think, of supporting young families that are struggling, whether they're married couples or single parents. Every year, Homestart Butzer apply to be put into the Big Give Christmas. And they were lucky last year to get in, and they've got in again this year. And it works along the lines of the charity, Homestart Butzer, has 14 days to raise, I think it's £14,000 they want this year. And if they hit their target, the Big Give Christmas people double it up to £28,000. So Homestart Butzer are asking people to donate to get to the £14,000, and if you feel that you want to do that, then if you check out their website, they'll better tell you how you can donate. And I think I don't have a lot of time for quite a few charities because personal reasons, but I do think that Home Start Butser does a great job because they do help young parents who are struggling, and particularly at the moment, I think there's a lot of people struggling. We've seen food bank use go up. We've seen redundancies. I can't remember whether we mentioned it last time, but unemployment in East Hampshire has trebled. It's now up to 2,500 from 750 in March. So this whole thing is having an impact on people, and people like Home Start Butser are doing the best they can to actually help people on the ground. And other charities are available, of course.
And I'll say, so we're 24 hours before we know what news is going to be in there. Any other features that we can look out for?
There's the usual walks. I do love a walk, Joff. I don't write under a pseudonym, to be fair. So the lady who does them is actually her. What else is in there? There's going to be in there this week. We've got a very interesting piece from Will Hughes, the vicar. He's come into his own. He's a very erudite, intelligent man, as he would be. He's got a direct line to God. But, yeah, he's written a piece. We've got a piece from our town mayor, who I think in this crisis has really stepped up, very down to earth, and she said some very interesting things about the Remembrance Sunday, one of which was we must make sure that the values that the armed forces die for are the values worth having. And when you think about it, that's quite a profound statement. You know, it's all very well asking people to die for nonsense, but if we're going to do that, what they're going to die for is going to be worth dying for. And I think it's a bit of a reflection on the country at the moment as a whole. We seem to be in a bit of a, let's have an Enid Blyton phrase, a bit of a pickle.
Excellent, John. Thank you very much indeed for joining me again. We'll be out and about again next week for the final time, because hopefully come the beginning of December, the Peapod will be out and about. Thank you, John, once again.
Thank you, mate. Always a pleasure. You're looking very dapper today, Joff, I have to say.
Thanks, John. And the Peapod post is out every Wednesday and costs 75 pence. So please get one with your weekly shop or subscribe to the digital version. A bargain.
Susie goes walking with her faithful friend Rain at Langley this week, but all is not as she had hoped.
Good girl. I'm trying something a bit different today. It's a very rainy afternoon, you know, except linguistically as ever. But if you can just imagine cornflakes. So there's the scruffle of fallen leaves and that's Rain and I going through a puddle. It's extremely squelchy mud, but I just thought it would make a nice change. The clouds are a really leaden grey, so I think I'm probably not going to be able to record then. But while I was walking, I was thinking about the podcast I've just been listening to, Backlisted, and those of you who follow Talking Books as well will know why I'm so interested in other people's backlisted books. But this is by John Mitchinson, who's my publisher at Unbound. And they were talking about Doctor Who, the novelisation of Doctor Who by Terence Dix, which gave me a real shock because up until then it's been fairly classical literature they've been talking about, most of which I have to say I haven't read, despite having an English degree, so I feel really stupid. But this was a joy because it took me right back to Saturday afternoons at home. This was Doctor Who in the Brain of Morbius, which was the Tom Baker. I thought to myself, it's Tom Baker, and then brilliantly they had Tom Baker read out a bit of the book, so I know I'm right. Dad would be in a smoke-filled room with his two brothers while my mum was at work. He was still at home in these days. And they would be watching Grandstand, and I'd be reading. And then nobody would have lifted a finger till my mum came home from work at about 6:30, whereupon she would do probably my favourite cod throw sandwiches, and we would watch Doctor Who, which was wonderful. And in those days, they were very straightforward storylines. I can't really be doing with the modern rendition. And I still have that shiver thinking about in when it was the Daleks and doors would just sort of scoop open and sometimes there would be a Dalek behind it and sometimes there wouldn't. But anyway, so I was thinking about that and thinking about the fact that Dad's brothers actually got fed up with his bullying ways and they stopped coming. And I don't know how typical we were, but we had what we grandly called a studio couch that we would sit on because it was the 60s, early 60s, which made itself into a double bed. But why would we? Nobody ever came. I mean, the rest of the family after that wouldn't come till Dad left home. And then still, you wouldn't sort of have guests or dinner parties or anything like that. It was we'd sometimes go up to my aunt's for tea. My mum would make a trifle or something to take up as our sort of contribution. So anyway, different world, different 60s childhood. But then this is what I love about memory. So I started with that. And then I remembered that when I was teaching, there was a pupil called, let's call him Jason. And he was completely besotted with Doctor Who. He wasn't particularly good at composition writing, as we would then call it. So I encouraged him to write a Doctor Who story. And he sent it to his hero, Terence Dix, who was doing the novelisations of usually his own scripts then. And he had the loveliest letter back and it encouraged him. And I often wonder if Jason ever went on to be a scriptwriter or something, because it's perfectly possible. And of course, he, when adult, he would have easily coped with computer programmes and so on. So he might have done. Anyway, we're now looking out over the heath. It won't surprise you to hear that nothing is stirring in the whole landscape apart from me. I hope you can still hear the sploshing. And I hope you're warm and snug at home and thinking, well, thank goodness that's not me doing it.
Susie will continue her wild walks throughout this second lockdown. And you can listen to her previous walks on shineradio.uk. Claire, have you done any walks recently?
I did a really lovely walk around Milland a couple of weeks ago, just when lockdown started, with a friend I hadn't seen for ages. And it was a walk I hadn't done. It was a walk I'd never done, actually. But I loved it. It was a good hour-long walk. I hope I'm going to remember how to do it, because I'd like to go back up there over the Christmas holidays. But I know you like to walk, Geoff, don't you? You tend to go for a walk every weekend. Is that right?
Yes, I did actually go at the weekend, and it was a lovely 8 mile walk I did, starting in Petersfield, back way to Berriton, around Kiwi Park, and then back round again. So, and we went a different way than we'd normally do, and there seemed to be more uphills than down. So it was a good workout actually, but yeah, I do enjoy a good 2-3 hour walk once a week on a Sunday if I can.
I think what I might try and do actually, since you know we've got 2 weeks to fill during the Christmas holidays, because obviously I don't think we're going too far, but it'd be good to try and find or listen to some of Susie's walks actually and go on a few of them, because I haven't done that yet, but it might be a good opportunity to explore somewhere new using Susie's wild walks.
Claire, is that something we could do? Could we try and rival Susie with a Peapod walk?
Oh gosh, I doubt it, but we could try.
Claire Venis and Geoff Lacey in Petersfield's Peapod.
Velvet and Rose is an independent fashion boutique located in Chapel Street. We were due to record the Peapod there in person, but because of lockdown, I spoke to owner and manager Shirley Leader on the phone instead. Hi, Shirley. Thanks so much for joining us in this remotely recorded Peapod.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yes, I'm good, thank you.
I'm very sorry that we couldn't actually come in person to record this Peapod. I was very much looking forward to having a look around your shop. I've never been in, so it was a great excuse to come and have a nose around. But can you tell us a bit more about Velvet and Rose?
Yes, I opened Velvet and Rose in March 2018. So it's been open for about 2.5 years now. And yeah, I'm really happy that I'm still here, because I opened when there was a big announcement about Brexit, and now COVID has hit us. But we're a women's wear boutique. We just specialise in clothes which are just a little bit different. They're still classic, but they're beautiful clothing of good quality and a good price point as well.
So what brands do you sell in the shop?
I sell a mixture of brands. There's a lot of British brands, and there's also European brands as well. So I have, for example, the denim wear back brand, which is Moss Mosh. I have a Danish brand, Saint-Tropez, and that's a really good brand. It goes across all different types of clothing. I have powder for accessories, Inyati for vegan bags, and I also do a lot of smaller brands such as like Hope and Ivy, My Nelly, for like sweatshirts and lovely dresses as well.
Was it always your desire, your dream to open a small boutique clothes shop?
Well, it was my desire to open a small shop selling jewellery. And I know years ago when I was at university, I said to my friends, I feel like opening up a slippers shop. I haven't quite managed the slippers part of it. But in the back of my mind, there was always that little dream to have a little shop where I'd be sitting behind the counter and just serving people.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, how fantastic that you're actually able to do it. Now, we're in the second lockdown of the year. How have the lockdowns affected your business?
Yeah, it's not been great for the business. Luckily, I've built up a customer base, and that does take a while to build up. And they've been very supportive. But you can see the impact of it when a lockdown is announced, and then during the lockdown, you can see a dip in the sales. So then you have to really work hard as a business to be present, do your social media, and that's just it, just putting that extra effort in. Luckily, we have been having orders because we are online, but it's still not the same as having a shop open.
I noticed that you also offer stylist appointments. Can you do this virtually as well?
Yes, we can do it virtually. So people can just contact us by email or direct messaging, and they can just say, I'd like a bit of some clothing just to wear at home, or I've got a little birthday celebration, what do you suggest? And I can go into the shop and then just pull out some pieces for them.
Oh, that's brilliant. So you can take photos of it and email them or something like that?
Yeah, and I've done videos with people. I've created like a little videos for some people where I've just gone around the shop pulling pieces of clothing off the rails and suggesting what they can wear with one top and with a pair of trousers. And it's just a nice way of looking at it rather than, you know, I know not everybody can come out, and I know there's a lot of vulnerable people out there still. So it's a nice way of doing it.
That sounds really good fun. I suppose it gives you an opportunity as well to showcase what you've got in the shop, but in a different way. And I suppose that's what's happened this year, isn't it? We've all sort of had to adapt to different ways of surviving these lockdowns.
Definitely. And it's made us a lot closer with our customers as well. So we've built really nice bonds with them. And, you know, they've come in and said, look, I really want to come in and buy something from you. And we've seen that a lot, really, especially locally. They'll just come in and say, you know, I need a hat, or I need a piece of jewellery. What can you show me? But during the lockdown, they've still been very supportive as well. So it's just so nice to see.
Oh, that's really good to hear. I think there is very much a strong sense of community, isn't there, around here?
Yes, definitely. And also with other businesses as well. It's not just with people off the street as such. So I've had like the ladies from Hector's come in. I've had ladies from other shops coming in to shop and support the business as well. So it's just been really nice community spirit.
Oh, long may that last. With regards to shopping local, it's great that the support is there in lockdown. Obviously, that's something that you would like to encourage and continue when this lockdown is over.
Yes, definitely. We were hoping that we will open on the 3rd of December. Some of us are online, but not everyone is. But it would be lovely if the people of Petersfield and around can continue to support us, especially when we open up on that day. And yes, yeah, we're counting on that support.
It's going to be a bit of a celebration, I think, when the doors are finally opened again, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. I think we might have some fizz behind the counter, but don't tell anyone.
We'll keep that between us.
Yes.
Can you recommend some items then perhaps from your shop for potential Christmas presents or for a Christmas outfit? I mean, I know Christmas is possibly going to be different this year, but that doesn't stop us from wanting to dress up and making it a nice day. Is there anything that you could recommend?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think we might still have the odd poncho left, and we have some pashmina shawls. They make good gifts. And our wrist warmers have done really well this year, and they come in a lot of different patterns. With regards to wearing dresses, I'd definitely be wearing a dress on Christmas Day, even if it's the four of us here at home. I've got a lovely black velvet dress, which has got a slight wrap on the skirt and a slight cowl neck. It is sleeveless, which doesn't suit everyone, but it's, you know, hopefully be nice and cozy in your homes. There's also the lovely fayed dresses, which is from Hope and Ivy, a beautiful autumnal colour, and that's a wrap dress with long sleeves. So there's a few pieces in the shop which will work really well.
The one thing I wanted to ask you as well, in addition to what we've covered, is something called the mannequin protest. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes, it came about from a group I'm involved in called Boutiques in Business, run by Amanda Lee Slattery. And Naomi Walker in the group, she's the one who came up with the ideas about turning our mannequins back to front as such. So if you walk past the Velvet and Rose window, you'll see that my mannequins have their back turned to the window. And really it is that we're turning our backs to the government as such, because they're not really looking after us. So it's all with regards to selling non-essential items. And I personally know that, you know, if COVID is very serious, and if they classify a product as non-essential, then nobody should be selling it. So, for example, they're allowing supermarkets to sell them if they're in their aisles, and other stores as well, whether they're large or small. So that really, Christmas is, November, December is a time for our small businesses where a lot of them make most of their money for the year. And we're losing out to the likes of Marks and Spencers and Tesco's, etc., where they're being allowed to sell their clothes, and quite openly so as well. So we're just trying to do something about it. And we've had good coverage as well from the media. We've been on the BBC, we've been on the news. We've also been in Drapers, which is a fashion industry group, and also in various newspapers as well.
So do you know how many small businesses are also involved in the mannequin protest?
There must be about 60 plus, and it's spreading as word goes round. A lot of the shops are starting to turn their mannequins back to front as well. And I'm going to go in to change my window as well, so look out for more mannequins turning their back.
That's really interesting, because I saw a picture of it online and I thought, I wonder what that signifies. So it's that's a really important campaign, and I wish you all the best with it. It's been
Thank you.
Great to talk to you, Shirley. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us in this remote Peapod, and hopefully when the shop is open again, I'll be able to pop in and have a look around.
Yes, that would be lovely, Claire, and thank you very much for having me on.
Thanks again to Shirley Leader from Velvet and Rose. We wish her all the best when Velvet and Rose reopens in December.
The Peapod Events Guide. What's on in the Petersphere?
For those of you on your own this Christmas, Age Concern and Petersfield Area Churches Together invite you to enjoy a free traditional Christmas lunch during Christmas week, which will be delivered to you. This has been made possible due to the fantastic generosity of our town.
Delivery will be either on Monday, December the 21st between 12 and 1 p.m. or Friday, December the 25th. A vegetarian option is also available, and other dietary requirements can also be catered for. To request a form or for more information, please contact info@ageconcernpetersfield.org.uk. Forms will need to be completed and returned either via the same email address or to Winton House, 18 High Street, by December the 3rd.
Wild's Christmas Tree Farm is now open. Currently, the farm is only allowed to open for a click and collect service during lockdown, lifting on December the 2nd, when you can go to pick your own tree in the plantation. Go to wild-farm-christmas-trees.co.uk for more information.
The Petersfield branch of Save the Children is bringing festive cheer to the Heath on Saturday the 5th of December. Elves will guide you across the magic bridge, and you can wave to Santa in his grotto. Refreshments will be available from the Plump Duck, and there will be festive treats for children who have been good. Well, that rules you out then, Geoff.
A bit harsh, Claire. And to keep you company throughout this lockdown, why not tune in to shineradio.uk for local news, audio shows, or a bit of a boogie while listening to the brighter mix of music. That's shineradio.uk, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
If you're running an event, get it in the guide. Just email pod@thepeapod.uk.
It's time for a spot of music now, and this week we're featuring a local band that I'm quite familiar with.
That's right, Claire. Mark Venice and Different Place are about to release their third album called Fighting on All Fronts. The band plays original music influenced by The Clash, Bruce Springsteen and Johnny Cash. Here they are with a song from their new album called House on the Corner of the Road.
House on the corner of the road. Times are still and I just froze. That house of the road.
That was Mark Bennis and Different Place. Their new album is out this Friday, November 27th, and you can find out more at markvenis.com.
We love to support local musicians and like to feature new artists and their music, not only on the Peapod, but also on Shine Radio throughout the week.
If you're a local musician and would like to submit a song for us to play, contact us at pod@thepeapod.uk.
And so we've reached the end of another lockdown Peapod. Thank you for listening. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you to our guests, Shirley Leader, John Walker, Susie Wild and musicians Mark Venis and Different Place.
As always, we'd like to say thank you to the amazing volunteer team at Shine Radio. If you'd like to get involved in whatever capacity, we're on Petersfield 5 55 500 or email us at pod@thepeapod.uk.
Next week, we talk to Ryan Watts from the Petersfield Museum and local voiceover artist Abby Phillips, all from the comfort of our respective homes.
So from the two of us this week at Joff's house and mine.
Bye.
The Peapod is produced by volunteers at Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Hello, this is Hugh Bonneville. And finally, you and I have our own local radio station right here in Petersfield. It's our station, made by the people of Petersfield, and that means we don't just have to listen, we can get involved too. We can influence what Petersfield Shine Radio does, we can help it cover our interests, and we can tell it off in public if it gets something wrong. You make it shine. So join me and support the volunteers by spreading the wonderful news that Petersfield Shine Radio is here.